It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's Friday. You know what that means. Another jam-packed edition of our compilation podcast, U105 of the Best. They don't call our Denise Sporty Niecy for nothing. And after her gym chat with David Johnson on U105 Breakfast, you'll hear just how fighting fit she is. The pair were also joined by Michael from Movie House for the pick of the must-see films out this week.
Good morning, this is Breakfast from U105. MJ off the rest of the week. This is David Johnson. Denise Watson is here, 10 past 6, and Denise is continuing, we're on the 7th floor, not going up on the lift like me. She climbs the stairs. So morning, Wheezy.
Yeah, Wheezy indeed. No, I was just checking my, one of those smartwatches, you know, checking my,
yes,
my rates. I managed to come back down again from what it was. It was about double about 10 minutes ago, I have to be honest.
So you're not like Rocky, two at a time as you come up the flights of stairs.
I think I will be by maybe.
Your hands above your head when you get to the top.
Yeah, I could just go. I could just shout out, you know, I'm the top of the world. I think maybe if I can keep this going, I might be able to do it in one go by about August. I'm only able to get about halfway up before I have to go. Okay, deep breath.
Sit down, half an hour, cup of coffee, quick sandwich.
Yeah, but it is a good way. You know, it's a good way to wake yourself up. Just say that you normally get in the lift this morning, go into work and go that wee bit earlier, take the stairs and see how you get on.
I come in here at just after 5:30.
You're not going to do that.
No. It's all I can do to drag my carcass in here for that time, let alone run up the stairs.
I know. One of the other things I was saying to Colin, the newsreader, the best way to wake up as well is the cold water over your face. Do you ever do that? When you just can't wake up, throw the cold water over your face. So no, actually I was looking up gym motivation to keep you motivated. So if you're all set, okay, you've booked your session in the gym. Some people are saying online that the way to do it is to sleep in your gym kit so you don't get up and you don't be deterred and not put your gym kit on. So you should just sleep in your gym kit.
No,
I think that's a really good idea.
No, it's not.
No, I'm sure there are people that do it. You're looking at me like, no.
No.
Well, why not? You're not going to wear your singlet, are you? No.
My full-on Lycra singlet. It's one way to get the gym to yourself, isn't it? I'm not going in there with him. He's all
Borat there.
What's the class in the gym that you say you're aiming to go to?
But I think I'm not fit enough to actually do the class at the minute. It's something called HYROX. It's fitness racing, according to the website. This is all over the world.
It sounds energetic.
Exactly. That's why I need to be fit enough to do the class. So I'm trying to get myself fit before I actually go in for a class, because it looks quite hardcore. So, I mean, there's a running element to it, which is not my favourite thing at all. So you've got workout stations, and you work in pairs, and you do certain things at workout stations, and you repeat it, and you're against the clock and against other people. So it looks, when I've seen it, if you go online for it, it's HYROX, HYROX. So I want to know, anybody listening has actually done this class and how difficult it is, and is it fun? Because it looks hardcore, but it looks like it would be fun too. But I don't think I'm fit enough yet to do the class. So
if you walk into the gym,
yes,
straight to the cafe that's there, and you have a large muffin and an extra large coffee, does that technically count as going to the gym?
No, that does not. And have an extra large muffins or whatever you're talking about, definitely does that, like, cancel it all out again?
I've been very occasionally to the gym first thing in the morning, and I got, it was a long time ago, got talked into going to a kettlebell class, which I'd never done.
done before, I've never seen before.
Yeah.
And we walk in, it's 45 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
Right, and everybody's lifting their really tiny little kettlebells.
And you
and
think,
I thought to
I'm
myself,
six too.
What's the point of this? That's no good. I lift the heavier ones.
Okay.
6 minutes into it, I was dying.
Really?
Now I know why they're lifting the light ones. It's a tough class. So my gym sessions are now the muffin and the coffee. And this gym routine you were telling me about it,
yes.
you showed me on your phone the routine.
Yeah.
There is a sled push, a sled pull, a burpee jump, rowing, a sandbag lunge and wall ball and a farmer's carry.
Yeah.
Now, if you're thinking that means you're getting carried by a hunky farmer, Denise,
no.
It's probably not what you're hoping. Michael McAdam is here from Movie House. Hi, Michael.
Good morning.
What have we got? So four new movies this week.
Well, four this week, because if we judge by what was out last week, it's very, very hard getting people into the cinemas. One of last week's films, The Book of Clarence, you may remember I spoke about, and we were playing it in two screens in our Yorkgate Centre, and over the weekend, nine people turned up.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so we're hoping that's going to change this week, and the big movie this week would be Challengers coming in with a 15 certificate. Very, very good cast through the week.
Really good cast, Michael. You've got Zendaya, of course, one of the hottest actresses at the minute from Spider-Man, Greatest Showman. Mike Faist from West Side Story. And if you remember, the Crown, Prince Charles, was played by Josh O'Connor.
Yeah, that's right. Zendaya, I mean, I have to say, she looks absolutely stunning in this film. This is the film about tennis. Well, it's based in and around tennis. It's not about tennis. But the main theme is tennis. And this is a story. We meet these two young lads when they're in their teenage years, when they're so impressed by this, by the character called Tasha. And Tasha is going to be the next big thing in tennis. She's beautiful. She's a fantastic tennis player. And just when she goes to reach the heights of her career, she has an accident and she goes over in her ankle, and in an instant, she is gone. So the only thing for her then is to become a coach, and she ends up being the coach and marries one of these young men. The film is played in flashback, so now we go forward like 10 years, and the young man who she marries is now top of his game. Well, he was top of his game. He's beginning to lose his game. And she, as his coach, is saying, look, you're made for better things. And he's saying, you know what? I'm tired. I'm weary. So she has this plot in her mind to get him back into the big time. And she then puts him in not a big championship, but one of the little country championships, where he's going to go in as a wild card, and he's going to go in and he's going to thrash whoever's in front of him and build up his confidence. What happens is, and this does come along, he ends up playing his former friend, who used to be in love with his wife, and now we have the triangle of the two playing together.
Okay.
It is very, very good. Now, a bit confusing on occasions for me, because I'm a simple folk, I like a simple movie. And what happens is the film flashes forward and back, and forward and back.
Oh, I like that.
And if you blink too much, we're going forward 8 years, we're going back 2 years, and it's... I found it a wee bit, whereabouts are we now, you know? But if you just look at how their clothes change and their hairstyles change, I can't tell you where we are. It is very good. It is very good. And I'll tell you what, make sure you stay for the last minute of the film, because to me, it was heartwarming. It was really, really good. Challengers is the film. It's going to be the big movie this week. Now, second film this week is a film called Ordinary Angels, coming in with a 12 certificate. It's a true story and a great cast.
Yeah, it's Hilary Swank from Million Dollar Baby. And if you watch Jack Reacher on Amazon Prime, Alan Ritchson's in it too.
Do you know what? I just love Hilary Swank. I think she is absolutely fantastic as an actress. And this is incredible, because it is a true story, and it's a story of a hairdresser, a girl who drinks far, far too much, but she's got a heart of corn, and she becomes aware of a story in a paper about a young mum who's just sadly passed away. And what makes it so sad is that the deceased her mum has got the young daughter, sorry, the deceased the mother has got her young daughter now has, and it looks as if her young daughter in the next weeks or months may also pass away as well. And this hairdresser girl, she's so intrigued by this, and she thinks, well, maybe I can do something. But I mean, just in, as far as she's concerned, she's a nobody. She turns up at the funeral, she meets the father, she meets the family, and she thinks, I gotta do something. So the first thing she does is, along with her friends, they go to the hairdressing salon, they bring all their friends in, they raise money. This guy is drowning in debt because he owes so much money for all the medical bills. His daughter needs, I believe it's either a kidney or a major organ anyway. It's going to cost a fortune to get it, and even if they get it, they've got to get her to the hospital. How are they going to do it? Because there's an 8-hour window to get from the word of, we've got it, they get there, and they leave the other side of the country. This woman takes a mission on herself. It's inspiring because she, as I say, she's really a nobody. But it goes to show you what any person can do, because she sets out, she gets the publicity behind it, she contacts CEOs of companies across the country, anybody who's got an airplane, she contacts her local broadcasting TV station. She makes this thing work. It's inspiring. It's Ordinary Angels, and it's out this week.
We've got 60 seconds left. I've seen the trailer for this. ISS. What's this one?
Yes, ISS. So this is the story of both the International Space Station. Okay, because people don't recognise what it is. And this is the story of what happens when you have the Americans and the Russians working together as new teams. They're working away on the space station. They look out the window. They can see America down below, and they see the nuclear explosions happen. The world is at war.
Yeah.
They lose communications with the world. But the last communication they got, the Russians get the same message as the Americans: take control of the space station.
Right, okay, very good.
It looks good. Now, your last one this week is Boy Kills World.
And it's got Bill Skarsgård, who's Pennywise, in it on this.
Yeah, revenge is the topic of this movie. It's a crossover between Deadpool and Hunger Games. Set in the future, this is the story of a deaf mute who goes out for revenge when his family are all, just like in Hunger Games, are all murdered. He's out for revenge. And that's the four films for this week.
So, Challengers, Ordinary Angels, ISS, and Boy Kills World. Michael, good to see you. Thank you.
Does size really matter? Off the back of Angela Rayner's highest dig at the Prime Minister, Frank welcomed Fionnuala Meredith onto the UN05 phone-in to discuss the long and short of men's stature.
I'd like your opinion on this. Angela Rayner in Parliament yesterday, this is how she addressed or made reference to the Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I read with interest that the Right Honourable Gentleman has been urging his neighbour in Number 10 to call an election because he's worried they might get wiped out. Oh. Has he finally realised that when he stabbed Boris Johnson in the back to get his mate into Number 10, he was ditching their biggest election winner for a pint-sized loser?
A pint-sized loser. That's the reference towards the Prime Minister, who is, you know, I'm sensitive about this because I'm not very tall myself. Let me speak to a leading feminist. I need one today. Fionnuala Meredith, good morning.
Morning, Frank.
So, was it acceptable for this woman working professionally to call another person working professionally, you are a pint-sized loser?
No, I'm afraid it wasn't. And I've got to say right at the top, I am no fan of the Tories and have said many, many worse things about them. They're probably, you know, unprintable and unspeakable and certainly couldn't be mentioned on air in the past, and no doubt I will in the future. But when you're going to stand up and make a public pronouncement, as you say, a professional one, you can't start making comments or jibes about people's personal appearance. You know, women have rightly complained about that for years, about being judged or criticised or commented on in that way. So we can't start turning around and using those same words against other people. You know, it's not right. And it's interesting, actually, to see. I was looking on social media. I mean, I'm not on social media myself because I think it's a despicable kind of, how would I even describe how much I loathe social media? It's just, it's toxic. But I had a peek on Twitter or X or whatever it's calling itself now to see the reaction. And there's so much cheering for Angela Rayner saying, haha, yeah, this is great. You know, it's perfect put down and it's quite justified because of all the things that Rishi Sunak does.
Yeah.
And I thought,
Yeah, but just on that, because if he had retorted with something along the lines of, eh, that's unacceptable, you loudmouth redhead, you know, it wouldn't have been acceptable at all.
No, so it has to, that's why we can't have double standards. That's what I'm saying. You know, you can't say, well, it's okay for the people we don't like. We can say what we like about them, but not all right for others. We can't make those double standards when we're talking about these public pronouncements. Either it is okay to criticise someone or make jibes about their personal appearance as an attack on them, or it is not. It's a bit like free speech. You know, either it applies to everyone or nobody. You can't be selective and say, well, I like what he or she's saying, so that's okay. But not when someone else says it. It just doesn't work. It shouldn't work like that.
Would they have cheered if a Member of Parliament had directed commentary towards another Member of Parliament and said, oh, you fat git?
Yeah, well, I don't know what they would do. It's hard to know what politicians will do. I don't have a very high opinion of them generally.
But the fact that they cheered yeah, is an endorsement of, well, it's not only unparliamentary language, it's just unprofessional language.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You just can't do that. But that's what worries me about all this stuff. Just it's actually much more serious, I think, than just a silly throwaway jibe, because it's the tribalism that bothers me with this. It's the idea, you know, that we can say these things, but because we're having a go at someone from the other tribe, and so anything's justified then. And I really don't like that, because it's so dehumanising. And I think we have a heck of a lot of tribal thinking these days, and certainly here in Northern Ireland, we've seen where that ends you up. So it always really concerns me when I see people, even at this kind of fairly low level, making these sort of, basically what is it, a tribal assault, a tribal attack, a verbal one. And I just don't like it, because we know where it goes, we know where it ends up.
Yeah, we're just one general election away from Angela Rayner being the levelling up secretary. She's certainly the shadow one at present, but she's one general election away from being in high office. Is this a warning maybe that we should hold on to the Tories?
No, I wouldn't go that far. Yeah, no, I would definitely not take it that far. As I say, I mean, I'm a bit of a sort of plague on both their houses when it comes to politics, because I think so much of it just does operate at that tribal level. Well, especially here, obviously, as I've already mentioned, you know, that's a reason why I actively disconnect myself from politics here and find it very hard to engage with, because it is sectarian, essentially, and that just sickens me, and I am not prepared to pretend that we just have a normal political system here, because we don't.
But is it fair to call it tribal across the water?
I think essentially that what Angela Rayner said was tribal. You know, she's been in trouble before for saying things, and I do not support the Tories. Because I think there's this idea that, you know, you're either with us or you're against us.
Sure.
So if I criticise Angela Rayner, there'll be a certain subset of people listening will think, oh, she's a Tory. No, she's not. I'm not. I thoroughly repudiate the Tories, but I don't like personal attacks.
Yeah, so let me paint a picture here. You're in the kitchen and you've cooked a meal for three, and you're told that to win the prize, you must invite two females and they're going to come out of the hat, okay? And I'm doing the draw, and first name out, Angela Rayner is coming to dinner. Suella Braverman is coming to dinner. Would you go to dinner with them?
No, I think I'd prefer to have dinner with other people.
but to get the £1 million prize, you've got to sit with both of them.
Oh, well, okay, maybe for £1 million I'd do it. I'd sit and have a nice chat.
Yeah, but would you get angry with them? Because I'm asking you now, as a leading feminist, would you get angry with those two very powerful and in many ways impressive females?
Well, there's no doubt that there's things to admire in their characters, as there is in almost everybody. But just the fact that they're female doesn't necessarily mean that I like them. You know, this is this kind of misunderstanding of feminism we so often see, is that we're supposed to be just, you know, cheerleaders for women and whatever they say or do. Of course not. When I say I'm a feminist, I'm saying I believe in equal opportunities for women. That's all I'm saying. doesn't mean I'm going to like every single darn woman.
Yeah, but is the likes of Suella or Angela doing a disservice to women, or are they improving the woman's position?
I think neither. I don't think they should be judged as women in those situations. I think they should be judged for their track record in whatever policies that they want to implement. I think that's what they should be judged on.
But a man couldn't have said what Angela said yesterday. If a man had said to a small woman in Parliament, you pint-sized loser, he would have been marched out of the place.
It's a good point. Yeah, well, this is what I come back to, is then, so let's just not use that kind of language in public, because it is so discriminatory. You know, you think, oh, well, the logic, or the so-called logic on social media is that, oh, well, he can take it, Rishi Sunak can take it, and look at all the terrible things he's done. And I don't think that's the right way to argue it at all. You just, if you object to being judged on your appearance, don't judge other people on their appearance. That's what I'd say to Angela Rayner.
And just finally, because I know your partner is a relatively tall man, I'm just speaking now on behalf of men who aren't as tall as some others, and Robert is now perked up as well, because Robert is the same height that I am. We are at a disadvantage when it comes to woman's choice, aren't we?
Do you think so? Or do you think that's maybe just a little hang-up of yours?
I'm just wondering, you know, maybe it's why I've never been that popular with women. That I've often thought...
It's all coming out now.
Yeah, I've often thought to myself, you know, if only I had been, you know, 3 inches taller, I might have been as, you know, as successful as, you know, I'm trying to think of someone off the top of my head who's, you know, incredibly popular. You know, David Johnson comes to mind, who's a presenter here at U105. You know, David looks, he just absolutely looks like a superintendent in the PSNI. He's like 6'3", he's good looking.
Do you think women are attracted to that kind of thing?
Of course they are. Of course they are. When, you know, if I go downtown with David, I can see women sort of glancing, and they're not glancing at me. You know, do you understand that feeling? Now, I'm not saying I feel inadequate being with 6'3", good-looking David Johnson. What I am saying is, maybe the likes of Robert and myself and others that aren't over the 5'10" mark, we get ignored, don't we? And I was just wondering if other men possibly feel like that. Do let us know. But do women view shorter men as slightly inadequate?
I really don't think so. I know a couple very well who the woman stands well above the bloke, and he's fine with that. So you know what?
But I bet he's rich. He must have lots of money.
Not, he's not even, she's the big earner. It's just his wonderful personality and other skills that I don't know about.
What sort of skills? Personality? Because hold on, I'm on the radio. People know I've a wee bit of personality. I can be good crack at a wedding. You know what I mean? So I'm going to tick my box here for personality, but I can't for height. And as for weight, average. So I'm not going about with a big fat belly on me. So and facially, you know, I'm not saying I'm George Clooney, but you know, I'm not an ugly duckling, so I'm ticking all these boxes. But the big question is other skills. What other skills do you need?
Oh, well, who knows? Who knows? It's a mystery, isn't it? The desires of the human heart are very hard to determine. You know, it's always so individual. But you know what I was thinking?
You should be in politics, girl. You should be in politics.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking there's a man who could do with some therapy. What did we talk about last time?
That's right. I'm going to book in with Deirdre McGuire when she comes back. She's been on holiday. Yeah. She's back next Monday. I'm going to get Deirdre to put me on her couch. And, you know,
you've got a whole thing about this couch business. You don't get a couch.
All right. I don't want to stand during it because I look very short.
It's all coming out now. Oh, you're so ripe for therapy.
Fionnuala Meredith, if I'm not in your next book, I'm going to be disappointed. Thank you. Good luck. Writer and leading feminist Fionnuala Meredith with us on the U105 phone-in.
Taylor Swift's new album, The Tortured Poets Department, has broken all sorts of streaming records this past week. So in homage to the groundbreaking artist, we asked Denise to give us her own U105 of the best female-led albums. What would make your top five? Let us know in the Facebook comments under the podcast post.
Hi everyone, it's Denise from U105 Breakfast. Well, in honour of this lady being absolutely incredible with her latest album, we're doing our five top female albums. Well, I am. Obviously, she would be in it with Reputation. That's my favourite album that Taylor's done. Look What You Made Me Do, one of my favourite songs. But leaving her out of it for a second, here are my top five. So my first album is Rihanna, and it's this one here, Talk That Talk. Although she has been around since the age of 17, this is the album that has the collaboration with Calvin Harris on it, We Found Love in a Hopeless Place. And of course, the video was filmed in Belfast, so when she was over here. And I think that's a fantastic song. U105 play this song all the time. Rihanna is unique. She's creative. She's beautiful. She has her own ideas. So we saw her at the Super Bowl show recently, putting all those ideas in action. I think she's a great assertive role model for young girls in particular. And she also has a makeup line as well. She's an entrepreneur. But besides that, this one here, Talk That Talk, I think is her best album. And it's my favorite. And it's one of my top five. So my next choice is Christina Aguilera, and in particular this one. This is Stripped. She did release the song Dirty from this first, but the beautiful song Beautiful is one of my all-time favourite songs, and it's on this album as well, along with Fighter. So it's an empowering album, but it shows us how great a singer Christina is. And I know there was this whole thing between her and Britney, who was going to come out and top Christina Britney. Maybe Britney was marketed a little bit better, but the one I believe has the better voice is Christina Aguilera. So Little Mix and Girls Aloud all followed in the footsteps of a great girl band, and that girl band were All Saints. You thought I was going to say Spice Girls. This is All Saints, Saints and Sinners. This is a fantastic album, and it came out with a huge song called Pure Shores, which was on the soundtrack to the Leonardo DiCaprio film The Beach. From this though, there's a song called Black Coffee on it, and Shazney Lewis is a great songwriter. She's obviously the lead singer, along with Melanie Blatt, and then you've the two sisters, Nicole and Natalie Appleton, that make up the band. Now, sadly, behind the scenes, we've heard there were rumours of that they didn't get along, and that's a pity. As with all the great bands, there's fallouts. But I think Saints and Sinners is a fantastic album. The great girl band, they had their own look, the kind of grungy look. They didn't dress up in their heels and their dresses. They were just themselves. And I think All Saints, in particular Shazney Lewis, deserve praise. This next one, she really is one of the greatest singers the UK has ever produced on a global level. Currently just finishing off Vegas, I think. But I couldn't do a list without Adele and everything she stands for. A fantastic singer, fantastic role model. This is 25, so this is sort of one of the later albums, because I really like the song Hello. It's sort of haunting quality to her voice. And she really puts passion and emotion and everything into every album that she does. It was hard to choose which album, but I'm going for the later one, and I'm going for Adele 25. If you've seen her live, you're very, very lucky. And last but definitely not least, the greatest ever female singer of all time, and that is Barbara Streisand. This is the Essential Collection. I've listened to this so many times. It's like a double album, and it goes from right when she started out in Funny Girl, Rain in My Parade, and all those big musical numbers, right through to like from the soundtrack to A Star Is Born, Do That Duet with Donna Summer, Enough Is Enough. I just love Barbara Streisand and everything that she's done in her life. She's done it on her own terms. Even when she's at award ceremonies, I hear she brings like a lighting crew, so she looks great when the camera's on her. But she has that assertiveness, and she knows what she wants to do. And if you have been to see her live, I'm so jealous. Barbara Streisand is an icon. I think she is what every other female singer should aspire to be. And the Essential Collection, if you love her music, is for you. You have to have it, okay? So Barbara Streisand, number one female singer of all time, in my opinion. The Essential Collection is my final choice.
Did you get out to your garden over those 3 days of sunshine we had this week? Trevor Edwards, the resident gardener on U105 Lunch, came in to give Carolyn and our green-fingered listeners his top tips for sprucing up your yard this spring.
Now, I did tell you that beautiful day like today, it's great to have our gardening guru join us for a chinwag and to help you with your problems in the garden. Trevor, welcome back. I'm glad to see you looking so fine.
I'm glad to be back and I'm glad to be back firing on nearly all cylinders, but I had a tough time like most people had, this blooming cough that we've had for weeks and weeks. But anyway, to encourage you, even this will end, so I'm feeling good. Thank you.
Welcome back. Now, we've plenty of queries here. One of the queries I'm going to ask you about is, my lawn is covered in thatch. Do I need to get the experts in?
The answer is yes. You know, if you want to make a good impact on it, then yes. Or you can go along and hire a machine and do it as a DIY. Experts will make a very, very, very good job, a very difficult job look very easy, and they will do it properly. Not only will they thatch, but they will also scarifying, but they'll also puncture holes as well, which will allow the whole thing to oxygenate. And it's really a whole treatment, trying to remove the moss and trying to remove the reason why the moss comes.
Yeah.
And that is because we live in a damp atmosphere. Yeah. We live in Northern Ireland.
Can't really do anything about
it. No, we've had rain since September until now. So yeah. What do we expect?
I'm just hearing it at the moment.
Remove it.
Good, thank you. Right, let's get down to our listeners' problems because there are plenty of them. Seamus says he every year grows tomatoes in a bed in his glasshouse. I know that I should change the soil every couple of years, but at 74, it's not easy. When my tomatoes showed a deficiency, usually stunted growth and new leaves turning purplish, I use Chempac trace elements. Unfortunately for me, this seems to be no longer available. What fertiliser would you recommend to replace it, which contains all the necessary trace elements for my tomatoes?
And firstly, I'm shocked and surprised and disappointed. If Chempac is not still available, then I really am upset. When I was in retail, I used to sell it regularly. I'd be surprised if there's not a replacement by some of the other manufacturers. So do check it out. But anyway, in terms of changing your soil, yes, you either change it or rejuvenate it. Or what I would encourage you to try, go along to a good garden shop, garden centre, and buy some what's called ring pots. And they're pots with no bottom. And they're usually made of sort of like felt, like what you would put on the roof of a shed or something. Anyway, ring pots are designed so that you can replace the soil each year with no difficulty. And at the age of 74 or whatever, then anything that can make it easier, let's go for it. Ring pots, and then you just set them either on the top of the soil, or some people actually insert them into a grow bag. So you can actually insert the ring pot into a grow bag so that it will grow through the soil that you put in the ring pot and into the grow bag. In terms of what to feed it, apart from the trace elements, you've got to give it a very high nitrogen feed. High potash. And that is tomato food. And it will have the highest potash content that you'll get. If you can't get your specific Chempac trace elements, go for some of the good products like Tomarite or any of the other ones which are specifically for tomatoes.
Right. Whenever you say rejuvenate it, because I'm kind of in the same boat as Seamus here, that doesn't mean taking it all out. You're just putting some fresh compost in.
Absolutely.
There.
Just dig it over and put in some good organic fertiliser, manure, whether it be horse manure, cow manure or mushroom compost, anything organic, and then mix that in with everything that you've got. Mm-hmm. If you're happy to introduce other chemicals, something like some of the long last feeds like Osmocoat will be brilliant, and that'll really proof you right through the season.
Right.
But the same applies in your ring culture pots. If you can get good compost into that and good soil and maybe some the contents of a no peat grow bag, then you'll be off to a flying start.
Right. Good luck, Seamus. Andy Malile says, do you need to kill off the old grass before laying down new turf? And what's the quickest way? Because I'm going to end up under it if I don't get the garden finished. My partner Kim is going to bury me, says Andy Malile. Needs help.
Poor Andy. I'm going to have to give you a very thorough answer to make sure you don't don't suffer this this threatened plight. Anyway, there's no easy way. If you're going to redo a lawn, then yes, I would work on killing off whatever is there. And you kill that off, usually using a weed killer, if you're happy to do that. Any of the contact weed killers or some of the translocating. Let me tell you the difference. Contact means it'll kill whatever you put it on. Translocating means it'll take a little bit of time to go into the root. So you get a better kill with a translocating weed killer. So it's going to take at this time of the year 7 days to get into the root. Then it's dead. Then you are sure that there's nothing else there. Also, you're killing weed at the same time. If it's got foliage there, it'll only act on whatever the foliage is there. So let it die off and then do your preparation as you would ordinarily with a brand new lawn. Then simply dig it over, rake it, introduce some horticultural grit, nice and even, tread it down ever so gently, and then rake it again. So you never ever leave a hard surface. You always leave a little tilth on it.
Right, okay. Good luck with that, Andy. Sean in Belfast wants to know, should he put his tomato plants outside now, or is it too early?
Too early, Sean. Definitely too early. Even the hardiest ones, in the hardiest of areas of Northern Ireland, I would strongly advocate, no, wait until, you know, at least the beginning of May, at least. Unless you're in a very warm, sheltered spot, you could, and provided it's an outdoor variety, then you should be okay. Beginning of May.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good tip for all of us there. Now, going through the pictures that we've been sent in today, Pete is the first one. He sent variegated holly, which is up until about 3 months ago was just fine. I believe it's winter scorch damage. Just wondering whether to leave it alone or recover it. Or should I chop it out?
Pete, the sad fact is that I can't ask you a question or two. The first one I would ask, if I could, would be how newly planted is it? And if it's newly planted, then often an evergreen plant that's newly planted has a little bit of a shock and it will reject leaves. So there's a vague chance it could be that. There's also a very good possibility it got nipped with a frost. Either way, holly would be generally bulletproof and I would be confident it'll come away again.
Mm. Would you cut those dead leaves off or what?
Yeah, anything that's there unsightly, yes.
Mm. Okay. Good luck with that, Pete. So query number two that came in today says, can you tell me what this is in my garden and how do I get rid of it? I'm not really into gardening. So someone who's a novice here wanting to figure out what's going on the lawn.
Okay, just a word picture what it is. It is the lawn and it's got a real curly black fungus. And it literally is black fungus. And it's an indication again of where we live. Damp, damp weather. And we have to try and make things a little bit more easy to grow and prevent such things happening. And that is back to the scarifying and creating drainage. And you create the drainage by either spiking it or taking cores, introducing grit. In essence, you're trying to improve the surface of it. So scarify it, and then even a top dress with some soil and grit together will help it as well. But primarily, the moss or the fungus will grow if there's no feed or nutrient in the grass. Mm-hmm. So it's all down to good husbandry throughout the season. And I always, always say the single best treatment you will do is in autumn. And in the autumn fertilisers, there is something in there that helps prevent this fungal growth. So rake it out and then sort of re-turf it, but sprinkle grass seed mixed with grit and topsoil and it'll come through.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this last year, like at autumn time, about putting down the autumn feed and how it takes it through the winter and gets it ready for the next year. Mm. And then we do the spring feed. Yeah?
Yep.
I've done all of that and I've still got this thatch growing on the grass and the lawn and it's terrible looking.
Well, thatch is slightly different. Now, one thing I would say is how low do you cut? Mm. You know, if you cut very low, that can often promote a thatch. I learned years ago, and I was a slow learner, because I thought I knew it all, and one of the grass people said, Trevor, you're cutting too low. And it changed the appearance of my lawn in one season. Mm-hmm. So cut a wee bit higher than you think. And in terms of, yes, you're doing the correct thing if you're autumn and spring feeding, think of what it would be like if you didn't do it.
I know.
You know, so all you got to do now is at this time of year, just rake out the thatch. Then all the feeding that you will have done in autumn, which will have fed the roots, and then your spring feed will feed the top blades.
Yeah, you'll come through. Great.
Come through.
Okay, what about this query? Is this a dwarf forest flame? Jake and Andy Towns, not so sure.
Jake, hi. The forest flame name is a general name given to any of these what are called pieris, P-I-E-R-I-S. And pieris will always give you these red leaves. There is one variety, and only one variety, that's called forest flame. All the rest of them are pieris, and they all produce this red tip. But your one has got a very, very attractive little name, and it's called Little Heath Green. Oh. So yours is dwarf and will stay dwarf. Now, I have one in my driveway that is 8 feet tall, and I cut it back regularly. Yours will stay dwarf. Fantastic for a pot. So pieris, Little Heath, and Little Heath Green. If anyone wants to go shopping, they're a great wee plant in a pot.
Brilliant. Okay, that's great. Right, what about this question that's come in here from Mac in Green Island? After cutting, and you may remember we gave some advice, cutting this this tree down shorter, and he then writes, ugly question mark. What would you say about his work on this tree?
Hi, Mike. Now, again, I try and word picture for the other listeners. This is a pear, a pine. It's a piece, picea. It's a picea. It's actually a nice blue picea. Your pruning, I would say, is 9 out of 10. You've kept the shape of the tree, the nice conical shape. And yes, it looks a little bit stark and your cuts look obvious. That will go within weeks, months, that will disappear and it will be a fabulous tree. So do not worry, you've done a very, very good job.
Brilliant. Scammers, trapped school kids and Jason Statham entered the conversation between Johnny and Linda on U105 Drive this week. Find out exactly how their chat took that route and laugh along with them for the next 10 minutes.
Okay, Linda's been sitting here half an hour and isn't ready. So just sitting reading the paper. Goodness sake. Hello, is that the right microphone?
Yes, it is.
Have you heard this consternation online about scammers trying to get me to pay for my own tickets mm-hmm. for the Glam Slam gig, right?
Yeah.
So some of our listeners have been getting on and making them offers. Mm-hmm. You know, Frankie offered his 1994 Ford Fiesta, taxed and MOT'd, to August, and one of his neighbour's kids. Paddy O'Hara says, Heidi, I'm the descendant of the famous O'Gill clan, and my great-great-grandfather, twice removed, Darby, has bequeathed to me the unique whereabouts of his location of gold bullion. Unfortunately, I'm unable to release the funds without securing tickets to the forthcoming Glam Slam concert in the Dockers. If you provide me with your tickets, I will be in a position to transfer a significant sum of money directly to your bank account mm-hmm. in exchange for the tickets. So there's a couple of scammers on, just waiting to hear.
But the question I asked you is, how do people know that these are scammers? Because it's very difficult to tell.
No, it's not.
No.
No. So, for instance, Heidi in Helsinki, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's another guy in Zimbabwe.
All right.
What's the chances? Mm-hmm. They can't go to the Dockers because their babysitter let them down. The problem is, as you say, if they hit, 10,000 Facebook pages like that, they'll get a couple of people saying, all right, take my money. Mm-hmm. But U105, it's on the Jolly Hero page. U105 listeners have bounced in, and fair play. Robbie Brown says, if you still got these tickets, I'll give you $3,000.
Speaking of scammers, we got a phone call today, and it was from someone saying they're from some energy company or whatever, and your boiler is so many years old, and you need your doings changed.
I'm glad you grasped the full technical repercussions.
You need your doings changed, love. If they'd have said that, I might have believed it. But for a split second, he says, he was about to go into pricing, and I went, hold on a wee minute. We are by a certain gas company. Why aren't they phoning me? And actually, they've been out a couple of times checking ours, and at not any point have they said, I have to pay money for something else. I says, so no. And he went, So he was obviously, but what if they were to, catch on old people or people who aren't
as wise about these things.
That's how they do.
Scary,
isn't
it?
They make a million calls, and might only get three to work, but they'll fleece someone for thousands. That's the way it works.
They're dirty, rotten, stinking dogs.
Whoa! I'm only saying. I was glad to hear the word dogs coming in there.
They are. People need to be protected from these.
Well, that's it's an ongoing thing. It's getting mugged in the street. Only they don't even have to leave the house.
Yeah. Well, see, if you watch that movie, The Beekeeper, with Jason, the wonderful Jason Statham.
My God.
So the
Jason
Beekeeper.
Statham.
Yes.
The wooden Jason Statham.
Listen.
He couldn't act his age.
He acts brilliant in the movie.
He doesn't.
Well, then he's just brilliant.
He stands and stares with his baldy head and his big eyes and goes. And he puts a wee.
He does.
Yeah, he puts that wee. But he's so angry
good
face
at it.
On.
He's so good at it. But anyway, the beekeeper. That's.
Please tell me he's not here.
No, that's what the beekeeper's about. So he is a retired sort of hitman, but the hitman of hitmen.
We were talking about scammers, not hitmen.
No, but that's what that movie's about. That's why he goes in. He goes to a place, and it shows you what's it like. So somebody belonging to him is. Kills themselves because they've been scammed of their life savings,
right.
So somebody has been really good to him, so he goes to find out who it is, and it turns out it's a scamming place, and it shows you them in operation.
Yes.
So they're in this big swanky building, and there's like 20 or 30 people.
That's right.
And they're all over the world.
That's the way they do, Carl. Have you never seen the photos of these places?
No.
There's people sitting with 1,000 phones on a wall,
yes,
all linked up.
All computers all over the place, and they're all different ones, and they're all phoning and going such and such. Oh, you better watch, someone's trying to get into your account, and you see these wee people, and it's all up on the screens.
Oh, it's a business.
They're so convincing, and when people are about to put the phone down, they're so convincing, and they can give you enough information about something in your bank account that it's so believable.
Listen, unless it's someone you know, give nobody any details on the phone, and you can be tempted. The bank just needs my account number here. I'll just give them it. Mm. No. Why would a bank need your account number?
But they're just so convincing. But then
people are stupid.
Let me finish. So about 5 or 10 years ago, I could be making this up when the scamming started getting really huge. So there's this guy who writes for a major newspaper, and he was the one delving into scamming. He was actually scammed himself.
Yeah.
He had wrote a whole article in the paper saying that they actually sent the police out to his house and he handed them his card.
Yeah.
That's how good the scammers were.
Oh, no, well, this is what they do. It's what you got to work out. That's why anybody phones you for anything like that, don't give any details.
Mm-hmm.
If there's an organisation who needs your details, they'll find a better way to get in touch with you.
I know a friend of mine, Pauline, and what she did was she realised who they were right away, and she says, hold on a wee minute. She turned the radio up and went away and did the hoovering.
Oh, that's the way to do it, yeah. Yeah, make them run their phone bill up. Who else? We're talking about the scammers and the Glam Slam tickets. Rob Mack and Van Bridge says, no offence, Johnny, never mind those tickets. I want your man's 1994 Ford Fiesta. Right.
Can I mention something else as well? But I know that this is something that we have talked about before, but I think I am missing out, or else there's something missing with me. Because
no kidding.
My mom and I were watching an FBI last night, and they were down tunnels saving these school kids.
Right.
And they get word, the mine starts to fall in different places, and they get word from on the surface saying, take the west tunnel.
Yes.
He's in the dark, he's in a mine, everything's tumbling around him. You know, he didn't even have to question anybody which way to go. He just went. How did he know? I mean, he didn't even know where
I don't know, I didn't see the film, so I don't know what way he was facing.
No, but this is the thing. If you're facing a different way, is west a different direction?
Listen, I've told you this before. But I am gonna put you out of the street. West and North Null don't change compared to where you're standing. That's the beauty of...
If I'm in a mine...
Doesn't matter.
In the dark.
West, no, but doesn't matter what way you're facing. West is west and east is east. And never the twain shall meet.
If you phone me and I'm in a mine, I'm downstairs, and you say to me, Linda, go west, where is that? Where is that? And you don't even know which way I'm facing. Where is west?
But that's the beauty of directions.
Well, it's not beauty because I don't know where it is.
See, notice you weren't told to go left or right. West is always the same, right?
No.
Oh, dear. Listen, I'm not doing, because we did this before.
I know.
And I went home and, you know, beat myself with a hammer for an hour.
Well, I just wanted to know how he knew. How did he know?
It was in the film.
Right, okay.
Here, me and Lisa had to go to marriage counselling, right?
Mm.
And Lisa was complaining to the counsellor. And she says, listen, I said to him, if anything happens to me, mm-hmm. you should meet other women. Mm-hmm. And the counsellor says, what do you do? And Lisa says, well, he did meet other women. And then Lisa says, John, I meant if I died, not if I was stuck in traffic. Boom, boom. There's a guy on, got in touch earlier on again. Sometimes we touch on nicknames. He says, I had an old uncle, used to get called the exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time he left anybody's house, there was no spirits left. And now this is true, you'll get this. When you're talking to your cats and all.
Yes.
Right. Because
mm-hmm.
I talk to Armax.
Yes.
I know by certain barks and noises mm-hmm. what he means.
Yes.
I'm serious.
Yes, I know.
For instance, in the morning in our house, when he's like, it's ruff, ruff, ruff,
mm-hmm.
three barks means I'm going in the car too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously. Oh, yes. Yeah. Me too, car. Yeah. It's always a three-syllable bark, yeah. and he's looking at you, tail's going, and right. it's like, ruff, ruff, ruff.
Right.
So that's, okay. and it's the only time he barks, like, you know, three and triplets like that.
Yeah.
So we know there's different wee barks for it. Then there's a like a means I'm getting out of a back garden now. Any chance of opening that door instead of sitting there in that sofa?
Yep.
So things like that. Well, there was a man in England, one of these ornithologists, and he was studying bird song. And he decided to study owls hooting, okay? So what he did for a year, he hooted, he impersonated owls and then recorded their responses because he wanted to know how they responded to his original.
Did he stay in the corner of a shed?
No.
Okay.
What's that? What? He just wanted to know how they responded to his various owl impersonations, and he was writing it all down. He was recording them in the frequencies of the hoots and everything else. So he did this for a year until he found out the responses he was getting was from one of his neighbours who was pretending to be an owl. So he's going out at midnight and all in the garden going, ooh, ooh. And the guy across the back garden's leaning out the window going, ooh, ooh, hear us early to say again what he has. He's writing it down. So he's recording it again.
You can picture your dad, your grand, or and somebody just, doing a hum.
Right, we're winding this guy up again. Who else can do an owl? You know that. Brilliant. Just love that.
Oh, brilliant. The thing with pets is if you're a pet owner, it takes you an extra good 15 minutes to leave the house, doesn't it? Because you go in and you go,
of course you do.
All this and the talking and, and they're wrapping them up and,
you watch it in our house, if, you know, and I'm the same. I come into the house and, you know, and make a beeline. Oh, Maxie. Oh, Max. Oh, good boy. You know? And then and Lisa will say, hold on, we're all sitting here. You come in and say hello to Max, and we're all sitting like we're invisible. You know? Oh, hi, how you doing? How you doing, family?
We're all sitting here.
Yeah.
Oh, they're brilliant. They are incredible little
things. Don't start. Our Max has got us up in the middle of the night last few weeks.
Why?
It's like having a newborn baby.
Yeah.
The hedgehogs are out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's run around the garden trying to look for hedgehogs because he came across one the other week and now he's out hunting every night for
really?
Hedgehogs.
In your garden?
Yeah. And he wants out in the middle of the night to look for them.
But are you letting him out?
Yeah.
You
well, because he's barking in the house. He's nearly doing the ruff, ruff, ruff. He's doing it. I want in the back garden for hedgehogs.
So are you out in your robe?
I'm out like Tony Soprano in the bathrobe and
your
slippers.
Vest.
My vest. And falling in the swimming pool.
It's like Tony's a friend.
And do you ever try and call an animal loud enough for it to hear you,
but
you don't want to waken the neighbour, so it's like, Max! 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 And Lisa's going, look at her lip. What's going on? Max! Max! And then he's looking around, he's going, hey. Dead on. Right, sorry, I better go. What's the story? When are you ruining your own show?
Tomorrow night from 7 to 12, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
Yoo!
don't have any tickets.
Thanks for listening to this week's U105 of the Best. For more of the best chat, interviews and banter from Northern Ireland's best mix, tune in on FM, online, DAB, on the U105 app and on your smart speaker. Just ask it to play U105.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.